Hey guys, welcome back to my podcast. Today I'm going to just be reviewing everything since I do have the final in like 2 days. So I'm going to be writing down what I say while I also talk about it. So first up is going to be Mexico, and I'm just going to be doing the whole history of Mexico from... Or not a whole, like from 1500s all the way to 2000s. And yeah, I'm just going to be talking because it really helps me a lot. And yeah, okay. Starting with Aztecs. The Aztecs, okay, so I'm going to be looking at my notes as well because I did not remember all of it from yesterday. So here we go. I'm going to try to rely mostly from the information I remember though. Okay. The Aztecs, oh yeah, okay. They settled in Tenochtitlan, and they settled there because they saw an eagle on a cactus holding a snake. Okay. So they were settled there, and their king, okay, I need to remember this. Their king was chosen by God. So... After the Aztecs were there for a while, Cortez came in 1519, arrived here in Tenochtitlan. He was searching for gold, so he was settling there, and he won over the Aztecs with drums, guns, and steel, and he coincidentally looked like the god Quetzalcoatl, and he got help from neighboring tribes. And what he did was he set up this hierarchy, because he was from Spain, so he set up this hierarchy of peninsulares, Creoles, Mestizos, and Indigenous. And basically, the peninsulares got, encomiendas. So encomiendas are land and people, so they got land and they got slaves, essentially. And, so... He kind of made this hierarchy, like, very clear. So, like, people that were Spaniards were obviously way more powerful than those who were not. And people started to get mad. So, they didn't really like Spain at all because they always had such an overpowering force over them. He also used mercantilism, which is basically everything benefits the mother country. So, like... Mexico can only export its materials to Spain. They can't produce from the raw materials into a product like Spain can. So Mexico was kind of like an underdeveloped country, and that was why Hidalgo came. And Hidalgo wanted the independence of Mexico from Spain. So Mexican independence, and he fought this war, and it cost a lot of money, a lot of people died, but in the end, they got independence from Spain, so they won, and now they're in massive debt. And yeah, the Hidalgo is also called the father of Mexico, and I would just say that's because, like, he was the one that helped Mexico become its own. And yeah, he was a really big part of Mexican history. And after Hidalgo, it was kind of chaos because nobody really knew, like, who was leader and such. So Santa Anna was, like, taking coup a lot of times, but so were others. But Santa Anna was probably the most coup-taking... That doesn't make sense, but he took a coup 11 times, and he was involved in the Mexican-American War. So the Mexican-American War was basically a fight over James Polk's Manifest Destiny. So Manifest Destiny is coast to coast, and basically James Polk wanted a lot more land. He wanted California and, you know, all the land that is, like, kind of the southern portion of America. And... that was his excuse to start the war. Yeah, so initially Mexico had Texas, right? What was Texas? And they invited Americans to come over because there weren't that many people living in Texas. So Santa Ana would just give Americans land if they came down to what was Texas, part of Mexico, and if they would become a Mexican citizen. So Mexicans said they weren't allowed to bring slaves, but Americans did want to bring slaves. So they kind of had this huge fight. Texas became independent. Then U.S. annexed Texas into their own, as their own, one of their states. And they kind of always just fought about the border. So this was like the real push into fighting. And James Polk, the U.S., actually won. So what was the result out of this was Mexico gave Cancun, which is basically California, Arizona, Nevada, Colorado, Utah, and New Mexico to the U.S. for exchange for $15 million that the U.S. gave to Mexico. So Mexico did lose, and yeah, so now they lost land and they're also in massive debt. So Horace comes along because Santa Ana, I think he retired, let me make sure. Oh, also I keep on forgetting about to say this, but Cortez's main religion is Christianity. Okay. Yeah, so Santa Ana then just retires, probably because he just, like, so sick of losing or something. But Horace comes along and he wants to have these three goals. So he has the three goals of improving education, having land reforms, and becoming secular. And the reason why he wants to become secular is because he was born into an orphan, right? So he was taken care of under the church. And the church always treated him poorly, so he never really liked the church. And he just doesn't want the church to have a say in their government because he's always just had a negative influence with it. But unfortunately, during his rule, there was a French invasion. I think that's what it's called. Let me make sure. Involved French invasion, yes. Okay, so he was involved in the French invasion, and basically that was when someone from France, Maximilian, so he came looking for money because of the money they all borrowed from war. And basically, Mexico didn't have any more money, so they couldn't really give it to him. And that's why they started this war, and one of the battles that they fought was called Battle of Puebla, and that was on Cinco de Mayo. So that's why it's celebrated. That's why Cinco de Mayo is celebrated, because that was one of the only battles, I'm pretty sure, that they won in that French invasion war. And basically, it gave them hope to keep on fighting. And though they lost this war, they came back a second time and they won that war. And yeah, so the Battle of Puebla is really important. Two Mexicans and their nationalism. So it gave them more nationalism. Yeah. Okay. So because of this, now they're even like more broke because they just fought another war with France. So Juarez, he wanted to do land reforms, but now he has to sell the land that he wanted to give out back to the rich Creoles. So he couldn't do any of his reforms because Mexico was broke. After Juarez, it's Diaz. So Porfirio Diaz. Oh my god, okay. Porfirio Diaz. So he ruled by the saying pan y palo, which basically means like bread or stick. Either you do the easy way or the hard way, but no matter what, it's gonna be my way. And he dictated for 34 years, so that's a long time. And he was able to dictate for that long because he had rurales, which were basically government enforcers. So rurales would just like keep everybody like in order, so they would obey Porfirio Diaz. And Diaz wanted to modernize in Mexico. That was his main goal. So he wanted to modernize in Mexico through foreign investment because they were poor. They were broke. So modernized through foreign investment. And foreign investment is basically like you give another country some of your land, and then they open up a factory in your land using your people to do the work. And so foreign investment was like a good idea if you didn't have enough money to do the modernization yourself. Okay, so he modernized through the acronym FRAMPS. So that's, oh my gosh, factories, railroads, agriculture, mining, and ports. Is there a FRAMP? Yeah, with foreign investment. Yeah. Okay, so he really widened the gap between the rich and the poor, because foreign investment didn't really help the poor because they were getting really low wages, and obviously there was no money to give out to the poor, and Diaz didn't really try to, like, you know, support them in any way because he was rich. So he was like, well, I'm just gonna help my people, the rich, because I want the benefits as well. So he widens the gap between rich and poor. So a lot of people start hating him and they want a revolution. So Madero comes and he says, we're just gonna do a revolution. So he starts the Mexican Revolution, and basically he, Okay, he starts the Mexican Revolution, and so the U.S. ambassador in the U.S. at this time was Wilson, and Wilson basically was asking Madero, do you want to trade with the U.S., like, trading your goods front and back, because they want, like, a bigger economy, so Madero says no, not currently, because he wanted to work on some other things, like the Mexican Revolution. And then Wilson is, like, kind of mad, so he teams up with Huerta, who is Madero's assistant, and he says, let's overthrow Madero through a coup, because Huerta is agreeing to do trade with the U.S. So Wilson would just want Huerta in power so that they can do trade immediately, and that's what happens. So Huerta is in power. During this time as well, Madero doesn't really do any reforms because he is rich, so he wants to keep the benefits of being rich. So then Zapata, who is basically a political activist in the south part of the U.S., or, oh my god, the south part of Mexico, sorry. Okay, the south part of Mexico, he is politically, like, you know, saying that we should have a revolution. So basically, he goes and he makes a Plan de Ayala. Okay, so this is basically to get Madero out of power and to implement the land reforms because Madero did not implement the land reforms at all. So when Huerta's in power, he's really drunk, so he didn't really do much, actually, with Wilson. And after Huerta's in power, Carranza is in power. And Carranza is a constitutionalist, so he wanted a constitution to keep, you know, things orderly, in rule. So he makes a constitution of 1917, and that is actually still implemented to this day. And the constitution of 1917 included, like, all these things that it included land reforms, active central government, right to form strikes, limits foreign investment, and basically who wrote this was mainly middle class citizens, so a lot of middle class citizens supported him. He didn't follow the constitution plans, though, and, he killed Zapata because Zapata won against Carranza. So after that happened, his popularity declined, and he fought for democracy again because his group was mainly middle-class citizens. They didn't really care about, I guess, land reform or something like that. And after Carranza, Obregón is in power, and Obregón basically just kills Carranza with Zapata, with the Zapatista, sorry, by attacking his train car, and that's about it. Calles comes along after Obregón, and he starts the PRI, and the PRI is basically this group that helps unify other groups, so it basically connected all the parties into one group, so it's less cluttering, and, those party members were government officials. So he ruled the PRI with political clientelism, which is basically like, if you do this, I'll do this as well for you. And yeah, so the PRI lasted for quite a while. So Cardenas, the person after Calles to rule, was also using the PRI, and he expanded the party membership from government officials to also like middle class citizens, like workers and unions, and even the low class citizens, like peasants. So he expanded the membership so it'd be more diverse and more voices would be heard. And he also nationalized the oil industry. So he nationalized oil, and he also implemented land reform. And the way he did this was actually pretty smart. He used ejidos, which were basically community land. So he gave land to a community instead of an individual person, so that if they wanted to sell it, no, they couldn't, because it was under the whole community, and it kind of just kept people really unified. He gave out 50 million acres, so that was a lot of land, and so the reason why he nationalized the oil was because they had this good neighbor policy that the U.S. was saying that they would implement, or I think the U.S. would implement, someone, okay, so they have this good neighbor policy, and it basically said that there would be free international trade with other countries, right? So, by nationalizing so he wanted to test out, like, would it really be free international trade with other countries? Like, he would test out this policy. That's why he nationalized the oil, and, after Cardenas, there's Vicente Fox, and Vicente Fox basically just, instead of using the PRI group, he used the PAN, and so the PAN did last a while. Vicente Fox ruled starting in the year 2000, so it did last for like a good 80 almost years, 76 years, and NAFTA was also a big part in the Mexican history. NAFTA was basically the North American Trade Agreement, Free Trade Agreement, and it attracted foreign investment. So it was like maquiladoras. Basically, foreign investment kind of hurt the people in. Okay, so maquiladoras are factories opened in Mexico by foreign company and exporting its good to that company's country. So basically like if Japan came into Europe, they opened factories in Europe and using that cheap labor, but then if there was cheap labor in Europe, they would use their labor and sell it back into Japan. So basically it made goods cheaper, so it's good for consumers, and it also opened up more jobs. the Mexican economy was better since there was more trade between each other. And the why it's bad is because there were lower wages in Mexico than the rest of North America. So workers were obviously paid less, and it was harder to survive on the rate that they were getting paid. Mexican farmers who actually owned businesses went out of business because foreign investment kind of took over, because they did have more money and more power. And this only really benefited the rich and made the poor more destitute. A lot of people didn't really like NAFTA, and especially a group named the Chiapas. Chiapas were local peasants who were Zapatistas, and they were rebelling against the government because of their growing poverty caused by NAFTA, and they fought for like land reform, independence, and economic justice, and they were against the PRI and the NAFTA, and they just didn't really like, they didn't like being poor. They wanted change, and they wanted finally like a way for them to change and become less destitute. So that was pretty much it. Thank you for listening. If you are listening, this is mainly just meant for me to get explain it to someone, and my phone is kind of my someone. Thank you for listening, and hope you do well if you're studying for CWS 2, or if I said something wrong, please comment it down below, because I am trying to study as well, and bye, and have a nice day.